This is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge.
Because I just went gay all of a sudden.
Weapons of class 4 and lower have been authorized for use during the purge.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty.
Government officials of ranking 10 have been granted immunity from the purge and shall not be harmed.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
Commencing at the siren, any and all crime, including murder, will be legal for 12 continuous hours.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
Police, fire, and emergency medical services will be unavailable until tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. when the purge concludes.
General, would you care to step outside?
Blessed be our new founding fathers and America, a nation reborn. May God be with you all.
Under any other circumstances, that would have been a great fucking intro. Just like walk into this fucking story and call it a fucking day. But we can't
always talk shit about listeners when they happen to be acquaintances of one of us.
Mm-hmm. So under the files of what the fuck just happened? What the fuck just happened to us at this tattoo shop?
Tales from the Tattoo Shop, starring Marco Antonio.
So. This I can't even make this shit up. So this chick comes in.
How old?
Do I say it?
Paint the picture. You got to paint a picture, man.
I'm trying to like see how I want to deliver this without fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like, well, now this fucking cancel culture top of the fucking ball. Okay, here's how it goes. Look, some ghetto ass chick comes in, right? Wearing a fucking a spandex that only needed to be like neon to belong in the 80s, but it was like a mauve color, barely hanging off of her ass. Comes in, dollar fucking tattoos all over her, and she wants to get a piercing, right? And she comes in on Sunday when we have this piercing special. So she fucking comes through and is like waiting, and it's like, okay, little background, we do about 300-350 piercings on Sunday alone. That's a lot. The average day,
you have like a buy one special. Get one sort of.
It's $10 off, so it's including jewelry. So it's a great hello. Probably in the Austin area.
I was just
well, the main
there you go. There you go.
So she comes in and we have three piercers cranking fucking piercings all fucking day long. So she comes and sits down. And here's how it goes. It's like anything else. If you walk into a fucking mechanic shop, right, to get your fucking car worked on, you need it done right away. If the guy who specializes on fucking transmission is busy finishing a fucking car, you don't want the guy who does quick lube, which basically only does fucking oil changes and fucking filter changes, fucking around with your transmission, right?
So, right.
So if you want a certain
man's kind of, got to know his limitations.
I'm just saying. in this case, ghetto ass woman. So, anyways, comes in. All right, so she's waiting for a while. A couple people get called before her. Like they came in after her, but they get called in before her. So she stands up, you know, from the waiting room and goes into like the lobby area and just goes, starts looking outside through the window. Our front counter guy goes, ma'am, I'm sorry, I'm gonna ask you to sit down just because we have people coming in and out, we're checking people in, so we're trying to do our, you know, our diligence here to get people moving. She turns around, and then eyeballs them and just stands there, eyeball them, you know, like head tilted to one side, cocked
right
slightly, you know what I'm saying, like looking up, like like up past her brow. And she goes, and our kind of guy goes, ma'am, I mean, you can go sit down and wait your turn, or you can leave and we can't help you. And she's like, why did the other girls get called in before me? And she's like, you know what? Because this is bullshit. That's why. She goes from zero to see. This is not where, trust me, I'm going somewhere. It goes from zero to fucking 60 in 2.3 seconds and starts fucking yelling all sorts of profanities. The best part is when we're like, you know what? That's fine. We'll give you your money back. Go ahead and get out of here. And she's like, that's right. Y'all fucked up. Y'all got me fucked up. Y'all a bunch of N-words. All of y'all saw N-words. We look around. We got a Greek guy, my beaner ass, and three ass crackers. You know what I'm saying? Three white guys. We looked around. And I was like, I looked to the side. I looked to my left. I looked to the right. And I just cocked my head over. I was like, one more time. And she's like, you heard me. Y'all a bunch of N-words. N-words up in here. N-words. Crackers. I'll use some crackers. And I was like, I told her in Spanish, I'm like, I'm not even from here. in Spanish. I'm like, I'm not even from here. She's like, dumbass, blah, 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 blah. And Storm's like, and doesn't want to let you know, y'all got me fucked up. I ain't leaving. So we had to rush her ass the fuck out, giving her fucking money as she's calling us N-words and crackers the entire way out. That happened. That's
amazing.
That happened.
Awesome. You think she'll be back next weekend or what? Because you've got that special every weekend, right?
So this was 2 weekends ago, and this last weekend she was there. No, I'm just kidding. No.
Well, on that note, welcome to the locker room. I'm Tom.
I'm Matthew.
And apparently I'm a cracker ass cracker. And I'm Marco.
Oh my god. So I'll ask you this then. Do you think she really thought it was racism?
No, because it's coming from her, and she was she was black. I'll just say it, right. You know?
Do you think she thought you were being racist against her, and that like genuinely?
I guess in her mind you could think that, but the only thing I got to say is I mentioned that two girls were called before her. They came in after her.
Yeah, I mean, I would get upset too if I knew somebody.
They were both African American.
Oh.
Both of the girls that happened, it just happened to be, I'm not making that shit up, it just happened to be that the two girls that got called up that came in right after her that went before her were African American. And the woman that came in before her, that came in before her was an older white lady. And she was hilarious because she's an older white lady. And then she had to wait because she was getting a specialty piercing as well. And she was awesome because she was leaving. She's like, thanks, y'all, crackers. Have a great day.
Is specialty piercing code for something below the waist?
Nipples, a deviated septum. Somebody has a deviated septum and they want to have their septum done. A bridge on somebody who has like a slightly crooked nose. Something like that. Just something that requires somebody with more experience to deal with. It could be a general piercing, only certain piercers. When I pierced, I did general piercings until that one girl came directly from soccer practice. Mm-hmm.
From soccer practice.
Yeah, that happened.
And she probably wanted a little down under attention.
BCH, vertical hood piercing. Yeah, I was like, I do the same thing. Like somebody comes in, look, Mina. For all the listeners, I'm going to give you guys some tattoo PSA, okay? This is tattoo advice from the one and only Marco Antonio. If you're going to get your foot tattooed, your ankle tattooed, please do not walk around in 100-degree weather wearing nothing but sandals. Oh. And then come straight to the shop. In the same sense, if you're wearing hiking boots, go home, powder up, you know, saying wash up a little, go in the bathroom, a little bird bath. Because I'm going to eyeball you. Yeah. I'm going to eyeball you while I spritz you with alcohol, just so you know you fucked up.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say that it's a good rule of thumb. If you're going to get your foot tattooed, if you're knowingly going to get your foot tattooed, go wash your feet, put on clean socks and shoes, go directly to the tattoo parlor, go nowhere else.
That's right.
And give them the freshest possible foot you can.
Yes.
I'm just saying, treat it like the fucking doctor's office. You're going to go to the podiatrist to get your fucking foot looked at because you got a bunion. Guess what? You're not going to fucking like walk, you know, you're not going to Forrest Gump across the fucking, you know, United States and then fucking walk into the podiatrist's office. It's going to happen. Metallica guy, podiatrist, guy who looks at foot. He's a little guy. He's young.
He used to be like, oh, he's too young to know that reference. Now it's just like, fuck it. If it's complicated, we're going to reference him.
We have to have him on, by the way, because he emailed.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
He emailed me and said, hey, this is, consider this my official request for my 10 minutes to come on. So now that we violently broke our cherry of having guests on last episode with four people at once, as Marco alluded to and another listener pointed out, we kind of just went all in with a gang rape right away and had a
by the way
did you want to bring anything up about that, because we did get that was it was I, not hate mail
it was not no it was and it was from
explanation
a, it was
mail?
From
so
it was
Matt,
from a listener
ahead.
So it was from a listener from Australia. Apparently, we're getting it with listeners from Straya. And what was that? That was on a message, right? Let me pull it out. Ill prepared.
You sent it to us via DM or whatever.
And it was you did not remember this, Matt, when she brought it up. You're like, I don't remember. It was so fast. And I knew exactly what you were talking about. Also, because I have to listen to the show when I edit it.
So. You edited it, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't recall that at all.
By the way, when Matt's bringing this up, we say 10 minutes, but if you're a fucking sack of potatoes on this motherfucker, we dump you. I'm gonna tell you straight out. Like, if you call up and like, hey, what's up, guys? I hate, be ready to go. Yeah, come up with something. I'm sorry. We'd love to have you on, but if you're a sack of potatoes, you gotta go.
I mean, it didn't go terribly last time with guests.
No, I agree.
I think it went well.
You could tell some of them were a bit nervous.
For sure.
They did all right. And
again, thank you for everyone who came on last week. Sure. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate that.
Maybe
where the fuck is it? There it is. There we go. So I'm not going to use her real name, obviously, but this is a listener who's in Australia, if I remember correctly. I broke my rule tonight, guys. I don't drink during the weekday, but I had a shit day at work, and my head hurts, so I'm having a little.
Mm-hmm. At least it's not your shoulder.
Yeah, that still fucking hurts. But on to the next thing, right? MRI. Okay, so hey boys, just listen to the latest locker room episode. Marco said the most random thing that was so funny, and I was waiting for it to be discussed, but it wasn't mentioned again. I'm sure you know the part I'm talking about. Gang rape being manly. And I'm like, no, it's gang rape being manly with the two of the laughy faces. I was walking my dog and couldn't stop laughing. I had to rewind it a few times. Would love to hear some discussion/thoughts. About it on your next episode. Keep up the good work.
So as I was mentioning to you guys earlier, it was on the message to both of you guys.
Yeah,
it's, you know, obviously what happened was drink. So what happened was is that we're talking about I believe we're talking about Dakota, right? We're talking about Gandalf Beard. Dakota, right?
I don't fucking remember.
Anyways, we're talking about like one of them. I think it was Dakota because he'd mentioned like all the things that he had done, and I was giving him shit about
it. Was
like,
manly stuff.
It was manly stuff. And it's kind of like, you know, I was like, oh, I mean, you're being here, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, and I just put in there, I was like, wow, look at all the manly shit you do. It was like, you know, wrestling bears with your bare hands, or building log cabins, or gang raping. What? And
literally, oh wait, now I remember he was talking about like all of his previous jobs. I remember.
Yeah,
so and we all kind of went, "What?" And we joked around, and then we moved on because it was. And, just, and I think we're used to just random
each other's humor
things coming. Used to just Marco saying shit, and it means nothing. And then I forget. Sometimes we say shit, and people are like, "What now?"
Yeah.
So I responded back to her and said, you know, wow, I'm gonna have to go back and listen to it, which I clearly haven't.
Got an F on the homework already.
So this was Sunday, man. I had shit to do. And then our little exchange, I screenshotted it and said, look what you did. And sent her our little exchange.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
Which my response was this. I said, man, I just fired a comedy missile. I never thought I would have to go and sift through the ashes and explain things.
Yeah. And then Thomas goes, oh, Marco was just riffing, did an over-exaggeration, and then went dark. And then, Thomas, you said, we should do a conversation about rape and sex again, make it a two-parter, to which I thought, oh boy, what could possibly go wrong with that episode, right?
Especially using this as a jump-off point. Marco talked about gang raping being as a joke, being manly. Now we're going to have this discussion. I feel like it's not even a discussion. I feel like I'm being set up for a sensitivity meeting. It's like,
an intervention.
Hey, Marco, can you come meet us at the office? We have cake and pie. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm a fat guy. I love cake and pie. I open the door. Mark.
Hey, can you put down the scissors and meet me in the HR office?
Yeah.
we need to discuss the way you handle things to the opposite sex.
So speaking of Australia, we were scheduled to have a guest on this evening who is clearly drinking.
By the way. Thank you for finding that funny.
I'm not sure if this is a totally different, like if it's a totally different day over there.
It is. If he's in the Sydney area, mm-hmm. He is 17 hours in the future from now. So it's from our time, it's 8:50 p.m. here or in LA. So he is at 1:50 tomorrow afternoon.
Right. So
that's some Back to the Future shit. That's some Doc Brown shit.
Yeah, seriously. We wanted to have him on so we could see what the future is like, because he is in tomorrow.
Right.
So what time do we need to get to the clock tower and hook up the cord so we can make the jump in the DeLorean?
Pardon me, Marty. The model's not to scale.
So I'm guessing we're gonna have to call an audible here.
Reschedule with him. No. Okay. So I sent you the first thing was the article that I thought would interest you both.
I haven't even looked at that yet. I had such a shit day at work. I was
locked on target. I was locked on target for the guest.
Me too. And I sent you guys that just as a aside.
Are you talking about the railgun?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm down to talk about that. Let's talk about that.
So I sent this to Matt and Marco for in our chat thread about what we're going to discuss, and I sent it to you guys for very different reasons. But
I thought you were going to tell me that you're still developing one. I was going to get really happy.
Well, that article is about how the Navy finally abandoned it,
right?
And it wasn't because they didn't successfully develop one. So the article I sent to Matt and the article I sent to Marco was an article about the United States Navy has just wrapped up and cut the funding for its railgun program. And if you know anything about the railgun, it's, you know, this basically metal round that instead of having an explosion go off behind it of gunpowder, gets yanked down this gigantic barrel by electromagnetic rails, similar to those roller coasters that Disneyland has one in California Screaming. Yeah.
They're basically it slings a projectile at hypersonic speeds. It's mind-boggling.
You take and I looked at these drawings of these three theoretical rounds, and they're these giant machined risk pieces. They look like the eye. Roman numeral eye from Risk. And because it just has to withstand the forces of the barrel, and so
at that point I don't think fucking ballistics are fucking implied. Ballistics go out the fucking window.
So they were able to get these things to go 100 miles, and they could go through anything. They were designed to kill ships and maybe even aircraft and missiles and stuff like that. Well, apparently the technology that they've derived from developing the railguns themselves.
Sorry, I'm reading the article.
Is enough that they're like, okay, we realize now that 100 miles to continue to develop this railgun is not going to be long enough range. However, we've got this other technology to do these new hypersonic missiles. So we're going to go after the hypersonic missiles and leave the railgun sitting in the dustbin of history, which I was sad because growing up, we were promised several things. As elementary school kids, we were promised jetpacks.
Yes. Right? That's kind of...
We're seeing now. We're kind of seeing them. We're seeing them. Barely, but we're seeing them.
And we were promised railguns. And
it's true.
The railgun exists. I mean, granted, you can't carry it like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the movie Eraser.
Right. And granted, the one that the Navy built, they decided... The Navy mm-hmm. ships the United States in the water, mm-hmm. right? Ships.
Yeah. Got it. Navy. They float. Got it.
Yeah. They're all about ships.
Yeah. Navy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This railgun that they built.
Sail the Seven Seas. Navy.
There's literally only 3 ships in the entire U.S. naval fleet that the fucker could be mounted to.
Yes.
And they would have, you think they would have thought that one through a little better.
Yeah. And the other issue was they'll be into like 20, they'll be into a whole other year, like a whole other decade by the time they start building more ships that they could put it on.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So instead, they went for this hypersonic ballistic missile, which I looked up. Apparently, it's capable of like Mach 30.
Shit.
Like it goes, it's like 3.7 miles a second.
Yeah, it has a range of 1700 miles.
How are they launching this thing?
Off of a
railgun. I'm like, off of
a railgun. Right.
Using the railgun.
Using a railgun.
So we chop the railgun in half and then put the boosters into this rocket. And you know what? That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But I got to say, I still think the railgun's cooler. Because, I mean, let's be real about this. If you are 100 miles. If you're 90 miles away, your ship just blows up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just it's so fast. You're just like cruising, boom, and you're gone.
Well, so that's the other thing. The railgun, though, they didn't have an explosive on it. It had to do all of the damage through kinetic energy. And so one of the things was getting it to not just blow a freaking 12-inch hole through the ship and then keep going. You know, just keeps where the ship's like, oh, look, new portal on either side.
I'm gonna be real with you. I'm gonna be real with you. That could actually work if you made the projectile into a giant iron penis. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think you have to go tungsten, a tungsten penis.
A tungsten penis. Yeah, yes. Tungsten penis. Look, you do a tungsten penis, and then
you're gonna go. Happening. You might as well go tungsten.
Yeah, you're of course.
All right.
Okay, so
man, it's just this fucking 100 mile an hour, like, you know, Mach 30 penis just flying through the air and it just hits this fucking ship and buckles it. Like, did I just see a fucking penis take out that warship?
Speaking of penises flying, did you?
Oh, here we go.
What?
Did you see the? Hold on.
Get yourself together. Deep breath.
Use your words.
Did you see the video? Of, I'm trying to remember what sheriff it was who was giving the speech, and the guy that attached it had to, if it was an inch, it was 12, at least a 12 floppy fucking dildo onto this drone and flew it down into the skies, like, right towards his face.
No, and I left my phone in the fucking car running into the house, so like I'm really upset that I can't view this right now.
I forget what sheriff it was.
I'm looking at penis yeah, drone.
It was attached to a drone. And hold on, I'm gonna find this real fucking quick too. But yeah, he was the cock and balls was hanging from the bottom of the drone, so it was like floppy thing.
You're just like, so
and he was so, and the sheriff just kept talking, and somebody from the audience reached up and just grabs the shaft of this thing and just yanks it down. It's so fucking good. It was so good.
Can you imagine? Just like, so we still don't have any suspect in this case. Then all of a sudden fucking penis dangling in front of your face.
No Aussie guy
tonight.
Well, he's just now messaging me, so he may be able to jump in towards the end.
Okay, well, that'll work.
Which will work.
And speaking of Aussie guys, our duck boy buddy, he I was messaging with him a little earlier today, and he sent me a little screenshot of the progress bar on our package. And
oh man, thank you so much.
Our little care package might be here as early as next week, which surprised both of us because he just went through the regular post and he was like, "Wow, I'm impressed." No kangaroo jerky though.
Aww. Yeah, and no Aussie beer.
And no beer. They made him take the beer out. He said he did find some other Australian animal meat to throw in there. I have no fucking idea what it's going to be.
I don't even know how I feel about that. Well, it was just fucking described as Australian meat.
Australian animal meat. But you know what I found online? Because the internet's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
I found some kangaroo jerky, so I ordered us some. So,
all right.
So when, because now I'm curious. Now I'm like, I gotta fucking try this. So when the package gets here and I divvy it up, and then I'll make sure that I incorporate some of the roux jerky for you guys.
If we get our we get our Aussie guest, we can ask him how it's supposed to taste. Make sure you don't get a bad batch.
Do you think they have gator jerky over there?
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Oh, this web. I'll send you this website. They have fucking everything. They have all sorts of animals.
I'm asking just because, I mean, obviously I'm in the South over here, so I can get my hands on that.
The gator jerky? Nuggets.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You see, that's like...
Not common. Not common. It's like I can't walk into 7-Eleven and be like, oh, can I get some gator jerky?
Right. So when I found bacon jerky, I was very skeptical because to me, I was always told, you know, because jerky is just dried out, cured meat.
Right.
No, bacon jerky.
I was told that with pork, you shouldn't dry it out. You should always cook it.
Right.
And apparently they've discovered a, you know, chemical that lets the pork turn into jerky without giving you food poisoning.
Yeah. And
bacon jerky is delicious.
And it's not dry and hard like a traditional jerky.
No. And then Thomas discovered it and then had a tattoo session with me and brought it over to me. Mm-hmm. Here, have some bacon jerky. And I was like, no. no. He said, no, try it. It's good. I promise. I'm like, well, if I throw up, it's going to be all over your fresh tattoo. So fuck it. So I had it. And yeah. The listeners, we highly endorse, and they're not a sponsor. We highly endorse bacon jerky.
Yeah, just go find you some bacon jerky.
There's a couple of people making it now, which is nice. I still don't know. I've seen people that do chicken and turkey jerky, and I'm like, salmonella jerky? No, thank you. I'm not.
I've tried the chicken jerky. It seemed cooked though. It seemed kind of like the bacon jerky seems kind of like it's like cold, soggy fucking bacon. It's not like
it is. Maybe it's not actually turkey, cured.
I'm sorry. I think the chicken was smoked. The one that I had, I think, was smoked. So it's basically slow barbecue smoke for a long time, and then obviously they just, you know, cooked it very, very slow.
But we did get an email that was, I think, perfectly geared towards Marco's expertise.
Yes. Marco, you got to read that one.
I don't have my phone.
So we have to get to this email in a second. Because joining us from the future, it took us
from the future
connected. It was actually, you know, difficult to sync up the audio because, you know, this time machine technology is new. But John, and for those of you who have been listening to War Stories for a while, you will have remembered John was the Australian motor cop who was almost killed in the line of duty. And we spent some time talking to him. He's also a friend of one of our correspondents, Scott, that piece of mahalo that comes on from time to time. How are you, John?
I'm doing well, thanks, gentlemen, and yourselves?
That's good.
Just peachy.
How is everything down under? You guys are in the middle of winter right now, right?
Yeah, it's just sort of kicked off winter time. So where I live, we're right down in the deep south. Not so much banjo country, but pretty close to it.
I was just going to ask. I'm like, wait.
Hey, I'll go get my banjo out of the room in a minute if you like. I've been practicing.
Could you imagine being warm today? It was warm yesterday with a little piece of straw out of his mouth. Warm, ding, 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 ding.
That's exactly how it rolls.
I'm sorry, is this Australia? Alabama? What is happening?
My neighbors love me at about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I love it. I have a banjo, and I've been teaching myself to play it during quarantine.
You are so white. You are so white.
Hey, white people did not invent the banjo.
True that, too. Absolutely.
No, black people invented the banjo.
We're trying to get in touch with our ancestral roots from way back.
That's right.
Right. Way, 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 way back.
way. So far back, I can't even see them.
Correct.
So, John, thanks for joining us. You were gonna we're gonna talk about some all things or talk about all things down under and some of the things that are the perceptions of the United States right now abroad. But first, we got this email, and Marco's finally, we figured out how to get it to Marco because he read it, but he didn't have it in front of him. So I thought this email was a perfect email for you to read because it seems geared more towards your perspective.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So it says,
Wait. Leave out all the personal shit in that first paragraph, I would say.
Yeah, that's why I started with, it says, not this is from. I just say,
well, hang on, I was waiting.
June 14th, 2020.
All right.
Okay,
Mario. You have the floor, sir.
Okay. All right, it says, okay, here I go. I was born in 91 and raised in LA by my tia Mary and abuelita Marie. And I've worked every day of my life since I was a young adult. I'm very disappointed that there weren't any or many city millennials messaging you with their rants yet. Okay, that's fair. I don't know if city millennials listen to us, but okay. I hope they are all at least working their butts off like I am, just trying to survive welfare state like Cali. I don't understand how these American privileged kids have so much time on their hands to pick up reasons to cry their eyes out as they binge watch TV shows with overpriced beverages and organic snacks. Man, shots fired.
Wow, this is... Ooh, picking that one. I'm going, yeah, I'm with you.
I'm like, hold on. I'm like, let me get a towel and wipe my brow. If the hardest thing in your life is watching someone live a lifestyle you don't agree with and talk about opposing views in all capitals, you have an amazing life and you need to shut up. I was going to add, shut the fuck up. It would have been a little better, but shut up. Get your shit together and find purpose in something other than being a worthless gab.
Yeah.
I like that word. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, and no one likes you, even if you, even your pets. I'll get it together before I had to take my time away from one of my three jobs. Are you Jamaican? Come have a little talk with you, and I can promise you that my words and much. Is that right?
Won't use my words,
and I won't use my yeah, much. And I won't use my words as
like
much.
I'm gonna talk to you with so my
catch him hands.
You're gonna catch hands. Basically, you can be talking out the side of your neck here.
I bet you that was like the thumbs typing problem that I always have.
I mean, when she went all capitals, I was picturing her like rolling up her fucking hair and putting razor blades in her fucking hair. You know what I'm saying? Like old school, like, mira, sabes que, you know what? Hold on. Oh, yeah, this is from a female. So it's like, and I promise you that if I catch you outside, I'm going to fuck you up, bitch. Okay? I ain't going to use, you can talk to me, but I ain't going to use my words to handle you. Okay, no, anyways. As I will,
you're going to catch these manos, okay? You're going to catch them.
Apparently not, because she goes on to saying, as I will use the broomstick handle you should have been beat with as soon as you started with your woke BS.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
And I don't think the broomstick handle will be used in a fun way, like a Friday night sort of situation.
She goes on to say, your feelings don't matter and never will. And until you grow up and move into reality, you should be banned from every modern American privilege, like public utilities, stores, medicine, technology, and government programs that even the country lowest on the totem pole provides. And if you refuse to rough it in an amazing, safe country that has so many opportunities for people willing to work for them, you must surrender everything you own, but the clothes on your back. Nah, let them go butt naked. And we will ship you to a communist or third world country of your choice, Holiday in Cambodia.
Mm-hmm.
Because the rest of us don't need you here. That is, I agree with this so much.
Yes.
If I can live a rich life working 3+ jobs a year, have a new truck, a toaster oven to cook everything in, hand-me-down tech, dumpster scavenge furniture, and the privilege to have 2 awesome dogs, you need to leave now and make room for the rest of us. Thank you for your time. Amazing listener.
Yes. And I thought that spoke to you because, like, as a immigrant yourself who...
Right.
You know, voluntarily took the oath to uphold and defend the Constitution and become a citizen.
Let me give the listeners a bit of a background real quick. So, and I'm not saying this in a way that makes me better than, or because everyone has a story. Everybody has a story, and I'm not doing a pitch for ancestry.com. So, you know,
Jesus. Although we will take your money.
Yes, they will. Matt's parents and his ancestors, Thomas' ancestors, you know, saying like Aussie guy over here and his ancestors, you know, like everyone has a story. But my story, as far as how I got here to the States, is pretty straightforward. My parents knew the right people in Venezuela and saw the economic crisis coming. They were warned about it. My dad had spent time training here in Los Angeles and was here long enough with my mom to get a sense of the city. They looked at each other and said, I think we can pull this off. So a couple years went by and things started getting worse financially and economically in Venezuela, and things started to collapse. And as my mom, my mom just told me about a year ago, the money devalued 500% over a weekend.
Wow. Wow. And so what year is this? Because everybody now knows of the horrible situation that is in Venezuela now, but
This is about 81. Yeah, this is about 81. And before that, Venezuela was known as the Latin paradise. It was rich with petroleum. It was rich with petroleum, selling petroleum and, you know, crude oil all over the world. And it was how people imagine Buenos Aires now, which is like, you know, just popular city, hustling and bustling, hotels everywhere, beautiful beaches, beautiful landscapes, banging ass women, you know, saying with that café mm-hmm. con leche skin. Ay, Dios mío, papi, es chulo. Anyways, I'm just saying, longest running Miss Universes. Anyways, so my parents saw, you know, were warned about it and saw the writing on the wall, and they sold everything. My parents sold, they had two businesses. They sold the businesses. They sold the house, gathered up as much money as they could quickly, wait until we finished the school year. Packed us up, didn't tell anybody. You know, our family knew, but we were not even allowed to tell our friends. So when it came time for me to move, it was, well, your dad's going on a business trip and we're going to take him to the airport like normal. And then it was, we got special permission from the captain to walk into a seat so you guys can see the airplane. And then it was, surprise, these are your seats. We're getting out of here. That's how it happened. We flew in and stayed in a one-bedroom apartment that belonged to a friend of my father's, where my mom immediately put herself in school because my parents applied for a visitor's visa and then a student visa, as long as they got accepted into an educational program. And they did. They did. My mom went to cosmetology school specifically to be an esthetician. So she became an esthetician. And immediately when the student visas were going to expire because they had completed their school, they immediately applied for the work visas to stay in the United States. And as long as one of them got it, then we were all able to get it. My mom got it and we were all able to stay. After being here for X amount of time, we rolled the work visa into applying for a green card for a residency. We got a residency, which is one of the scariest times of my life because you have to exit the country. So now we're going back to a country that I hadn't been in 10 years, I want to say, 12 years. I no longer knew this place. Things were rough. Weird. It was weird as fuck. All my friends were gone. All my, you know, cousins were way older, you know what I'm saying, and doing things. So, and eventually, as Thomas knows, we got a residency, and I wrote a residency for a long time. I wrote mine longer than my green card, longer than anybody else in my family. And eventually, mm-hmm. after talking to some friends, I had the opportunity to, after 9/11, you know, I saw how everything was changing from INS to Homeland Security. And I'd been here long enough. I knew that I didn't want dual citizenship from Venezuela because it was only getting worse. And I applied for my U.S. citizenship, went through the process, got interviewed several times, had to submit a ton of paperwork, and became an American citizen. So for me,
the right way.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, it's, but the thing is, not everyone has that opportunity. Not everyone has the opportunity to be lucky enough to have parents that had two businesses and a property that they could sell, you know, mustered up whatever they could. But there was a sacrifice because people will listen to this. Some Hispanic people may listen to this, or some people that are immigrants may listen to this. Like, oh, my parents had nothing. I'm like, well, remember something. I did say that the money devalued 500%. right? So if you had a house that back in the 80s was $80,000, $80,000 American equivalent, and the money devalues, that house just became what, fucking $20,000?
Right. If that,
and how far 20 G's with four mouths to feed, you know, saying in a country where you don't really speak the language, you don't really have a lot of connections, and you gotta make it fucking work. You know, there's four of you guys, and you got, you know, five of us, I was thinking of myself, my family, but it was five of us, my brother, my sister, my mom, and my dad. And you gotta make that shit work. So my parents strapped up, especially my mom. My mom strapped up and just never said no. She figured out how the fuck to do it, you know, and took the opportunity that we're given. And that's what pisses me the fuck off. So like, if you're gonna have me answer this, I'll answer it like this. Fuck you, you fucking fuck. Because you know what? You don't know. People talking about the struggle is real. You know what? Your struggle is real based on your reality, right? Yep. But other people's realities can be just as harsh, just as unforgiving, or worse. And they have had to go through as much adversity as you or more. And you never know what anyone has gone through and how they have seen things. I'm Hispanic myself, and yeah, I have a lot of white friends, and I have a lot of friends from every nationality, every single one of them. My first experience with racism when I was young was actually from Mexican kids.
Was it because I spoke a different dialect?
I spoke a different dialect with a different accent and different root words. 100%, 100%. No matter how many Venezuelan telenovelas, you know, my Mexican brothers have listened to, you know that there are different words that are used. And coming straight from that country, that's all that I knew. And I was mocked. I was ignored. You know what I'm saying? I was picked on, and I couldn't communicate with anybody else because the only language that I knew when I got here was Spanish. So
the welcoming arms of your own community was not so welcoming.
So I hung out, and by the way, I came up to the States right before I turned 12 years old, which is over 30 years ago now. So I, as a child that, you know, wants to be around people and wants to, you know, play and go to school, I started gravitating towards any other ethnicity. And that time when I was in Panorama City, Pacoima, at that time, it wasn't primarily Hispanic. It was very evenly split between Hispanic, white, and Korean. And I had a lot of Korean friends, and I had a lot of white friends when I was young, when I was very little. And that's why my accent's gone. My brother and my sister still have a little bit of an accent. And I do too, in certain words. You know, you guys always get me to say Saturday. Yeah. And that thing that keeps things cold in the kitchen, that I will not say right now. So everyone's giving an opportunity, you know, And to the listener that wrote that in, I feel you. I understand. But at the same time, I ain't got time for the bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you want to be stuck, if you want to keep yourself, it was Matt that introduced me to this a long time ago, which is your upbringing can only be an excuse for so long.
Yep.
Your upbringing, where you came from, can only be an excuse for so long before it turns from an excuse to a crutch.
Yes.
And oh, if you keep going to that, you will never elevate yourself. You will never elevate yourself from your position. It'll never happen. Again, we said last podcast, I'll say it now. Iron sharpens iron. If you want to be better, be with better.
Oh, yeah.
Expect for sure. Better from yourself. Look at better. Look how what better looks like. Look what different looks like, and go after that and hang around with that and surround yourself with that. So
yep.
I don't, you know, as far as I get you, girl, I understand it pisses me off too, to an extent, but at the end of the day, fuck them. If you want to stay in the trailer, you know what I'm saying? You want to stay in the fucking backwoods, you know, you want to be living that, you know, you want to be living that fucked up ass trailer, you know, trailer life, dude, do your thing. What's up, man?
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I mean, first of all, that's fucking, I've never heard the whole enchilada, so to speak, of your story. So that's amazing. And I wanted to bring something up before we get John's input on some things. I don't know if you guys have seen, I think it just came out today, the full interview with this young college lady who is successfully defected from North Korea. And when she was 13 with her mother, snuck out of North Korea, got caught up, got sold into sex slavery, literally had to walk across the Gobi fucking desert to escape that, eventually made it here to the U.S. and landed in, I want to say, was it a Columbia University? It's one of the Ivy League schools. But she was talking about how the snot-nosed little kids here don't know what, you know, they're saying, oh, they're oppressed, we're oppressed, we're oppressed. And she's like, you don't know that the one thing that she told her whole story, but the one thing that stuck out was that she said, the minute you say you are oppressed is proof that you are not oppressed. Cause she said in North Korea, they don't realize how oppressed they are. And she said the shit that she had shoved down her throat in this Ivy League school, this indoctrination camp where you just have to go along to get along. And she said, I don't understand how you shit on your own people. Basically, those weren't her exact words, but that's what, you know, she was kind of saying. And she said that, you know, she had to basically shut up and just kind of go along and not say anything, or else she would fail these classes and be ostracized by her peers. And she said, these spoiled kids in this country don't know what oppression is. They don't, they don't know what struggle is. And for somebody like her to say that is just powerful. So if you're listening, look that up. I forget her name, but just look up. It's been blasted all over all the different news outlets.
Well, I can tell you that socialism's like Vegemite. If you think you're going to like it, you've probably never tried it.
There it is.
We get the shitty one. That's why we get the good one.
You only export the spoiled Vegemite.
Yeah,
exactly right.
Well, we're getting some biscuits, some Vegemite flavored biscuits that is specifically going to you, Thomas, that is supposed to help change your mind. It's supposed to help change your mind. So we'll see how that goes.
You know,
John, thanks for coming back.
If you have really bad mouth ulcers, whack some Vegemite in your finger, drop that on your mouth ulcer, following morning, gone.
Really?
No shit.
Yeah, hearing out. You got it from me. Give it a test. Yeah.
Well, shit.
All right, let's
get to those questions. Yeah. I'm fucking curious now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as you can see, you probably thought, what's he doing? But as you can see, I'm making my notes as well.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Well, the first thing was you brought up about Cambodia and I think we've sort of touched on this, which, and the reason I brought this into it was because of what you'd alluded to, Tom, with our discussions before coming on today, which is about where I perceive the states to be. And you spoke about Cambodia being, you know, an oppressed country, and how if you're right that you're oppressed, clearly you're not oppressed. I completely agree 100%. And I was going into the fact where Western democracy now appears to be pushing into that socialist communist regime, where these pricks aren't even going to know what it's like to be oppressed until they actually get hammered with it.
Yeah, oops.
But society today, I think, is, you know, the younger generation, and I think it's the generation just below ours, not far from where we're at, are so entitled these days that they expect to be given everything and give nothing for it, but want everything back. And I think that alluded came into what you were talking about, Marco, which I'll go to point four, because I'm going to jump down to point four, because that's sort of where I expand across, about your folks immigrating with you guys across, you know, and, you know, that was the Carter/Reagan era. You sort of immigrated right on the cusp of Carter changing out over to Reagan in 81.
Right.
Yep.
Right. And, you know, how were you, you know, what I wanted to know was from your recollection or with your folks, like, you know, you're saying about your mum should take whatever job, yada, 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 and all that. How were you guys treated, though, right, as in landing there in the States and being given any form of support, right, outside of, you know?
No, none. But I don't think things were a lot different.
So for example, as soon as we got, I want to say is our work visa. As soon as we got the work visa, we were allowed to apply for Social Security. You can't do that anymore. You have to be, I believe it's a resident, if not a citizen now, to apply for the U.S. Social Security program. So things were a lot different. But other than us, some of the basic aid, like y'all remember those little yellow tickets, Matt and Thomas, the little yellow tickets for school for like the lunches, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah,
like
the
vouchers. Yeah, exactly. So the lunch vouchers. So other than like breakfast vouchers and lunch vouchers, that's about all the assistance that we got. We didn't get any refugee assistance or any government aid, if you will. No government money. None of that.
Yeah, you probably didn't qualify as refugees.
No, there's nothing. So there's nothing really going on.
Come here and work hard.
Yeah, it was just come here. Here's your opportunity. You know, here's a whole new world. What are you gonna, you know, what are you gonna do with it? So, I mean, just give you a sense of what my mom instilled in as I got here towards the end of elementary school, and at that time I was already wanting to work for the school, so I volunteered like as a cafeteria worker, then I volunteered as like a flag monitor, you know what I'm saying, like just kind of just to do work. I think part of me wanted to feel like I earned those meal tickets, you know?
Right.
So, cause I did it not only in elementary school, I did it in junior high, what's known as middle school nowadays. I did it through middle school too, like all the way through middle school. I either did, you know, worked in the cafeteria, hall monitor, flag monitor, you know, the person who lowers and raises the flag. So even though
what you don't know is that your parents made that deal so that you could actually go to school. They said, no. My kid can go to school, labor. But you need to put him to
work. So you get him to put him to work.
You were getting a paycheck the whole time. Your parents were just
he's a good worker. You put him to work, he's going to do things. So, and that's why I was cutting the lawn on the weekends. That's fucked up. So,
well, you're probably still tired as well working in that Nike sweatshop at night time. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'm making those big sarapes, those big ass, like, you know, really colorful blankets and ponchos, you know, ponchos.
Yeah, I'm waiting for mine. Well, John, we wanted to have you on because we do have some listeners in Australia. We have Nick the Duck,
at least two,
who is sending us a care
package. We have four. Yeah, Duck Boy.
No, I'm bringing up him specifically because he's sending us an Aussie care package. Now, he said that he couldn't send us the beer he wanted to send, and he couldn't send the kangaroo jerky. So I have a couple of questions. The first is, when you guys go to the post office, do they make you show everything, like, to mail it internationally?
No.
Okay, so the rookie move was telling them he's putting beer in there.
Yeah, alcohol. That would be the mistake. However, that said, once it goes past like the counter, then it gets scanned anyway. It goes through the through your X-ray machines.
X-ray.
It's canned, so there's every chance they would have pulled it then anyway.
Oh, okay. All right. That's what Matt had said. He's like, "What about the X-ray?" And I said, "I don't know if they have that. So let's find out."
So that's where that
I think they have an X-ray machine in Australia, bro. Come on.
No, that's just do they X-ray all of the outgoing mail? Dude, we don't X-ray all of the outgoing freaking postal mail.
I'm sure.
Oh, packages, yeah. I'm sure packages go through the X-ray.
Yeah, look, I think, I mean, if you I actually just did an assignment on this. It was reversed. It's about the assignment I did at uni. Was about the infiltration of ice getting from China into Australia, and I just turned that thing off because that's going to be a.
is that Bootsy Collins? Like, just
that's a phone call from the future.
You're supposed to fucking send the beer by the ship, fucker.
There we go. Handled.
Sorted. Yeah, no. I just did this assignment on it, right, and it was pretty much looked at ice being infiltrated in from China from. Basically next to Wuhan, believe it or not. So if they're not exporting COVID one side, they're exporting ice the other. And that was one of the things we looked at, and just how much, like year 19 to 20, our customs only picked up 5 1,000 ton of ice, which they reckon is about less than 1% of our import amount that's coming in.
No shit.
So,
yeah, it's, know, the it's argument basically
there is. No, go for it, Tom.
Oh, I was just going to say, I talked to somebody who had said that there was a panga boat, and we were discussing the amounts of, and I won't say what because I don't want to give operational information away, but the amount of meth that they would get off of a panga boat. And it was a really large seizure of this panga boat and the really large seizure of methamphetamine, of ice, of crystal meth. And it let me really understand that if that's one boat that was intercepted, you're talking about how many boats that don't get intercepted, which probably means that that amount represented like less than 1% of all the crystal meth that lands on, like, in California alone, let alone globally. It's huge numbers.
Yeah, yeah. Look, from my research there, from you know, and mine's purely a China-Australia relationship. But looking globally, China export over 11 billion shipping containers a year. Now, you know, that's worldwide. But if you look at the main sources of you know, delivery, that's the US, Australia, or the Indo-Pacific. And primarily, we end up with about 790 million shipping containers from China. So if we're getting 1% of that amount, it's equates to about 10,000 shipping containers that are found holding gear. Wow. So there's that many getting through. And look, how do you go about it? How do you go about, you know, realistically managing that sort of situation?
Well, what you do is you stop ordering, you know, you stop ordering meth from wish.com, you know what I'm saying? Because you know it's going to be bad. It's going to be stepped on. It's going to be hard. It's going to be fake. You know what I'm saying? You're going to grow a third arm.
Yeah. So John and I like to message each other back with memes and stuff on social media as well. And I like the ones that he sends me that clearly mean that you are able to take the pulse of and see some of the stuff going on in the U.S. all the way over there in Australia. And so that's why I thought it'd be fun to have you come on and explain to us right now how, after last year's election, COVID quarantine, all the crap that's gone on this year since the beginning of the year, what does everybody else think of us?
That's a good question.
Are they as confused as we are?
Tom, that's a very narrow question. I'm really glad you asked me that. Look, ultimately, this is my opinion and the people that I probably, you know, and I think Marco threw out a really good point. You want to be better, you hang out with better people. You want to be the smartest person in the room, you make sure you're the dumbest so you actually learn. So the people I hang around with are actually quite, I feel I'm probably the dumbest in my group, and I try to aspire to get better. And I do take a lot of interest in international politics. I do have an affiliation to the States because of the fact, you know, there's two things out of it. Well, now three, really. One is Scotty being over there, and I owe that guy a tremendous amount, in particular post-accident with him flying over here and getting me taken through. I mean, we're both born on the same day. I'm a couple of years older. You know, we're in movies together, well, a movie together. Hung out with him as a kid. So I'm really in touch with the US for that reason. Second reason is my grand dream has always been to go to New York, and I've still yet to do that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might want to pass on it for right now, because right now New York is like the New York of
we
the
messed
80s.
It up a little bit, so you might want to wait until we fix it.
Even if it is touched down there, you guys come pick me up. We'll go somewhere down south and start strumming the banjo.
Strumming the banjo. I don't care. Exactly.
Yep. But that was
the other thing. You just want to see it to say you've seen it.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. It was just a dream. And, you know, I always wanted to get this. I'm not a big nightclubby sort of person, but there's two places in the world that I wanted to do nightclubs. One was New York and one was England. In England, London. Because the scene there is just astronomically huge compared to here. Like, we think we're pretty cool and we've got 4,000 people in the nightclub. I think that's like one of your front bars. So from that experience, you know, that's what I've looked at.
True.
Yeah, it's what I wanted to do. Like, you know, just to say that I've actually been to a pumping place and say, like, wow, this was the shit, you know. So I do take a lot of interest in the US. And then again, as I think I may have told you, I'm studying Bachelor of Security Studies, Mastering in Cybersecurity and Analysis through the University of Macquarie University here in Australia. So a lot of that relates to or has looked at a lot of US Sino agreements and also holistically looked at the international domain. And so I've taken, from my perspective, looking for my future, I've really hooked into the China aspect. But of course, who offsets China at the moment with their economic power is the US. So, I've really sort of looked into it quite heavily over the last few years, probably mainly three, four years, I've really been in tune with it. I should be more than that. It was leading up to the Trump election. I think I really started to take more note of it. And from my experience or my opinions and those that I do associate with is I think Western democracy's fucked. Right? And I think that's the be all and end all. I think that that's where it is. It's not about if Western democracy fails. It's a matter of when Western democracy fails and who is driving the boat. I'm sort of jump around here, and I'll do that. If I do get a bit sideways, just go back there, and I'll be quite fine with that. But leading up to the elections, watching the election race was really interesting from Australian perspective again, you know. And look, I was a Trump supporter. I'm not saying the guy's the be-all and end-all, but I think he was certainly, from what I saw externally, his heart and interests were in for the American people. Right, and to get things back on track, Obama, from again looking at it, it appeared that what was put to the front view of the House, what was going on in the background, really didn't match up, and it really destroyed a lot of undermined a lot of the American culture, started to divert and push towards this new theory that they got 2030, you know, the Great Reset, where everything's just going to be completely debaucherous and completely foreign to what we know. Right. And a couple of examples of that I think of, and it came to fruition with the G7 meeting the last couple of days where Biden's got up and talked. What a fucking bumbling idiot. Like, this guy's the leader. This guy's the leader of the fucking Western democracy. And he, you know, he's obviously... you can't help but feel for the guy. I feel for him, thinking that they've put him in a position, right, as a carrot on a string. He's clearly got some form of dementia, either whether it's starting, kicked in or whatever, and they've utilised him as the front man whilst everyone else is pulling the strings behind the back, because he can't even answer a question to media, and he has to ask the media. The media have to give their questions in a series. It's scripted? Like, it's got to be scripted. If that's what you're doing, then there's obviously a script behind it. So it's all played out for theatre politics.
Right.
So from that perspective, and my perspective and the people I associate with has lost a lot of confidence in the states still remaining as the superpower. China, when you weigh that up and look at their economic strategy and their BRI projects, you know, and that they're, you know, worldwide, they're owed over $70 trillion. That's a lot of people in their back pocket.
Oh, yeah.
To be able to do that. And then you've got, I think, Biden's agenda, and you can throw Boris in from the UK as well, and even Australia, realistically, we're pushing for a socialist communist country or regime. Here in Australia, we have to, if we get now these COVID jabs, right, injections and vaccinations, we have what they call an electronic passport.
Yeah, they're talking about doing that out here in California pretty soon. Yep. They just announced it today, because today was our magical day that everything's open, you know, the 15th.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they're talking about rolling out this electronic vaccine, or they don't want to call it a passport because they want to shy away from the show me your paper thing, but it's just new tool that businesses can use to regulate people in their stores so they can refuse service to anybody if they don't want to present their vaccination records. If you don't want to show your papers, then
no show, no go.
Yeah.
Show me you're vaccinated without showing me you're vaccinated.
Correct. Yeah. So it's nothing like, you know, let's look at 1933, the nationalist, you know, parties rolled up in Germany and boom, show us your papers while you're walking through one part of the territory as opposed to another. And why are you 5Ks away from home?
Right, right. Yeah. It's
and that's what we've got here. So we've got this passport system, right? Electronic passport. Now we, you know, we're obviously a federation, so we can travel like, you know, your different states.
Right.
So for me in Adelaide, I can fly to Sydney now, but in the not too distant future, it's going to be a case of show us that you've been vaccinated.
Oh man.
Before we're allowed to travel.
Okay. Now, so you're not there yet, but they're talking about getting there. Okay.
But the next part is we get vaccinated here. Like for anyone under 50, they've got what we call the Pfizer vaccine. So that's, if you want to look at it, it's P-F-I-Z-E-R.
Yeah, that's one of the ones they have out here.
Same here.
Yeah, Pfizer, yep. But if I've got the Pfizer here, it doesn't marry up with the Pfizer in the US. But therefore, if I want to go to the US, I need to take the same or get the same vaccination that marries up with the US before I'll be allowed to travel.
No shit.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's going to happen is we're going to be human. Well, arguably, we're going to be human pincushions. But anywhere in the world that you want to travel, if there's a different variant of vaccine, you need to have it. Otherwise, you won't be going.
Wow, that's bonkers. You know, I was just talking to a coworker today. I personally have no interest in getting the vaccine. If anybody else wants to get it, cool, whatever. I'm not going to make fun of anybody. It's just my personal thing. But I was telling them, and I was talking to my wife about this too. I said, you know, it's kind of funny that you watch these commercials with these fully FDA in the US side, that the FDA approves these medications for, you know, high blood pressure, depression, whatever. It's fully approved, fully checked off by the FDA. This is safe. You can take it. And you see these commercials and there is a virtual laundry list of possible side effects. And I get it. They do these trial groups. And if one person shits themselves, they go, oh, hey, you might shit yourself, you know,
which I get.
But yeah, but there's this laundry list of side effects. And I'm like, what are any of the possible ones for any of these vaccines?
And anal leakage.
There's nothing. There's
just a little bit.
A little bit.
Well, that's because they don't know. So here's an interesting thing.
Because there's been no trial. There's been no long-term trial group.
The human beings are the test subjects. And so this is according to a guy I work with whose wife works for the FDA, right? The FDA does not even truly classify this as a vaccine. They classify it as gene therapy because of the way it interacts with RNA instead of how traditional vaccines work.
Well, except for the Johnson & Johnson. The Johnson & Johnson is made as a traditional vaccine.
Okay, I'm not sure.
I've done my research on it. So the Johnson & Johnson, the J&J one, the one stick, and
but that's the one they took off the market, right?
There was a batch. Yes, it was bad or something.
It was a bad batch.
But it's back. Yeah.
So here was the thing that I found funny is this guy says the FDA calls it, the FDA doesn't call it a vaccine. They call it gene therapy because the way it interacts with the RNA. And so I said, really? And so I Googled, you know, COVID FDA gene therapy vaccine, right? And the first thing I get is from Forbes, May of 2021, is an article that says, no, the mRNA vaccine is not gene therapy, in quotes. That's the headline. So I clicked on it. I read a little bit. Then I clicked back and I wanted to see what the next article said. And I shit you not, top article came up. Then, you know, the photos,
right
came up.
Right.
And then the shopping for COVID vaccines near you came up.
And then, of course,
the next article was from like October of last year saying how gene therapy could be the answer to the COVID vaccine problem.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, shit.
And I'm going, wait a minute. It's gene therapy until we realize it's gene therapy and not a vaccine and that it's not approved and that we're all your lab rats. And then all of a sudden it's not gene therapy. Oh, no. It's just a vaccine. And I'm not saying, again, Marco has gotten it. I have not. everybody's got to do their own thing. Everybody's got to make their own decisions. I don't understand how if it's not good for like you can have it one way, but you can't have it the other. That's what I just am. It's driving me nuts. Oh, Marco is magnetic now. He's got a copper penny attached to his head.
And the thing about that is copper isn't even like a magnet won't stick to it. So
let's you know how bad this is.
You're really
you know what's really bad is the fact that it's like almost 90 degrees in this fucking garage right now. I'm like, this flower is wilting.
Ooh. Man, that was the front door. Your bees here.
Well, John, I appreciate you coming on and joining us. I want to have you back so we can get a more in-depth look at it. But what I did hear is, and this is the last thing I wanted to tackle with you, is our listener that sent us this care package. The last thing I want to be able to tackle is he said he couldn't send kangaroo jerky.
No, he said he couldn't find any.
Or couldn't find any.
He just couldn't get any. He said, I don't know, maybe he didn't get it in the store or something. Kangaroo jerky. Yeah, suspect. I couldn't get any kangaroo.
That's suspect.
But I found some online, so I ordered
it. Yeah, Matt found some online. So
I figure it's going to taste kind of like elk or somewhere like a kind of gamey, like a gamey beef.
Very gamey, quick, yeah.
Right? Okay, yeah.
Very red, meaty, gamey.
Yeah. Like a deer?
Stuff, yeah. Yeah, like deer, well, elk. Like elk more than deer. Yeah. Like elk is really freaking gamey, just irony, just that, yeah, which I so
like a fresh batch of Red Wings. Got it. Oh. Yeah. Got it, yep.
Oh, okay. Like, my only question was, he said he sent us some other Australian jerky.
Yeah, he said I couldn't get any kangaroo jerky, but I did manage to get another Aussie animal jerky.
So what Aussie are the candidates?
Jesus, what could that
are we, be? Are we going to have like wallaby jerky or koala jerky or
koala jerky?
Crocodile jerky?
I've not heard of that. Look, in Northern Territory, I've got a mate of mine. She works up in the Northern Territory Police, which is right in the dead center. Well, she's halfway up between the top end Darwin and Alice Springs. I think she's posted to Catherine now, which is in like the middle of Shitsville. Beautiful countryside, but there is nothing for miles around.
Huh. It's going to be like one of those like water buffalo things. Remember in Crocodile Dundee?
Yeah, Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, like a yak.
Yeah, like a big old yak. Probably, yeah, okay.
You've got those. You've got buffalo there. You've got kangaroo. You got horse. You got camel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, camel. Yeah. Then you got the bush chicken. Camel. Mm-hmm. What we call bush chickens or emus, which are like an ostrich.
Ooh, oh, like emus, yeah, okay. Emus, yeah.
Oh, right, emus. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've had ostrich chicken before. Yeah, bush chicken.
Yeah, bush
like
chickens,
that.
Yeah. So you got those.
See, in LA, you call an emu a bush chicken in Australia, but in LA, we call a crow a skycrip.
Yep.
What? Skycrip.
Skycrip, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. This is flying gang member.
Throwing up signs with its claws, you know?
Exactly. The wild chickens are hyenas. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Yeah.
Where, all right, folks. I appreciate you guys.
We're over time.
And we are over time. But John, thanks for coming on. Sorry, we had a little bit of communication issues about the start time, but I appreciate you coming on and giving us your thoughts on geopolitical stuff.
I had my calendar here at 1:30, so and you came in at 1:00, so that's where. I probably checked it before. We got daylight savings.
It's future math.
We got daylight savings. What I probably didn't do is when we first arranged it, we got daylight savings. So our clocks go, I don't know if you guys do it over there. We change our clocks an hour forward over a period of time, and then we bring them back an hour.
Yeah, right, we do that here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Except there's one state in the U.S. that does not do that.
Well, we only do it when like Jerry Springer tells us to do it. So it's only what Jerry Springer says.
If Jerry Springer comes out of his hole and sees a shadow,
right. Sees shadow. Clocks forward. Then we do it.
It's Springer Day.
That's it.
Well, I think on that note.
Shit. Wait, I got a joke. I got weird.
Oh, you have a joke? Put down the welding. Put down the welding.
Yeah. Put down the welding.
I apologize. I almost fucked it up.
Okay, what does a deaf gynecologist do?
Hold on, what does a deaf gynecologist do?
What does a deaf gynecologist do?
Okay, what does a deaf gynecologist do?
He reads lips.
Oh, shit.
I was thinking that or he reads Braille.
Oh my god. And on that note, we'll see you in the locker room.
Thanks, guys. Oh,
that's how we went out.
That was great. John, thank you.
Thank you.